This chazar zechinish b'chachet chasharim v'yehudim zechtes chesubas daf pay base. Zok t'gemar Yevamah once felt to two brothers. The younger brother wanted to give a get to prevent the older brother from doing yibum, similar to the last case that we had in the previous daf. The older brother said, "You're only doing so to prevent me from inheriting the estate. Don't worry about it. I'll make a deal with you. I'll split the estate with you." The younger brother said, "I'm not going to be fooled like the brother in the previous case where the split was not upheld as being valid the halacha. So I'm not gonna agree to that." The older brother said, "I'll do better than in that case, because I'll allow you to make a kinyan on half the estate before the yibum takes place, and in that way the transfer will be valid after the yibum." My Rav Rashi said, "Although we find that Rav Dimi and Rav Yochanan said that one can make a kinyan now for it to be effective later, that will not work over here in the case of yibum, because it's not until after the yibum that he even has the ability to do so, because it's not his until after the yibum, and therefore he doesn't have the power to give it away until then, until after the yibum." They asked Ula, "If the yavam did yibum and then gave part of the estate to the other brothers, what would the halacha be?" He said it would be an invalid transfer. They then asked, "What if he divides the estate and then does yibum?" He answered, "Again, it's going to be an invalid transfer." Rav Sheshes asked, "If they were told that the transfer was invalid when done after the yibum, so why would they even ask when it was done before the yibum?" The Mara said there were two actual incidents that took place. They weren't just asking intellectually or hypothetically in Beis Medrash. They were actually cases that took place, and therefore they asked both of those questions. Rav and the name of Rish Lakish passing like this as well. The Gemara passes like this as well. The Mishnah of Acham Marvin Peris Hamuchubarim the Karka Shaloi. Since the produce attached to the ground has the status of the land, it should be pledged for Ksuba along with the rest of the assets of the first husband. Rish Lakish said, "Change the word of the Mishnah to state that it belongs to her, Shaloh, not Shaloi." Mishnah said, "Knasa harehi ke ishtoi." Rabbi Yosef and Rechanina said, "The Mishnah means to teach that at this point he can divorce her with a get and remarry her." In fact, that seems pshita, seems obvious that she needs a get. Mara says, "We would think that the pasuk of Vyibma teaches that she always keeps the status of Yibama, and therefore to get rid of him later on, besides the get, maybe you would need chalitza also to end the marriage. Kamash mulan that you don't." In fact, it seems obvious that he could remarry her. Mara says, "We would think that after doing the mitzvah of Yibam, she once again becomes asa to him as an ashes ach. A pasuk therefore needs to teach that she remains mutter as any other wife." The Mishnah said, "Bilvaj takes subasa al nichsei bala harishon." Mora says the reason is that if it's not a wife of his choice, but rather it was a wife that was forced upon him from Shemayim, and therefore we give him from the estate, her ksuba comes from the estate. However, if the first husband had no money, the yavam would have to give a ksuba from his own assets, because we don't want that his divorce, that he can just go ahead and decide to divorce her without any financial consequence, and therefore it should be easy for him to divorce. And therefore we say if there is no money for a ksuba from the earlier estate, from the dead brother's estate, we would make the yavam from his own pocket have to pledge ksuba. The Mishnah said, "Lo yoyimah lo harei ksuba seich." The Mishnah says the same chain would hold true for a regular wife. Why would we think that she'd be treated any different than a yavama in this respect? The Mishnah says a regular husband writes in the ksuba that any assets acquired in the past or that will be acquired in the future are pledged to ksuba. Therefore, even if he designates an asset, we would think that she doesn't get worried that something may happen to that asset and prevent it from collecting. Therefore, the Mishnah teaches that even in that case, it should not be done. The Mishnah said, "Gersha ein lo ela ksuba." This suggests that the Yavam may not sell his brother's assets unless he actually divorces the Yavama and pays the ksuba. This follows Rabbi Abba. The Mishnah said, "Hechzira harei kechol hanoshim ve'ein lo ksuba." The Mishnah needs to teach that this is so even in the case of a Yavam where the first ksuba was not written by him at all. Rabbi Yehuda said, Zakti Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda said, initially the husband's assets were not pledged for the ksuba, and that caused women, initially, all women, meaning by all marriages, the husband's assets were not pledged for the ksuba, and that caused women not to want to get married. Therefore, Shimon Shatach came along and said that all of a husband's assets are pledged for the ksuba. A Brisa says this as well. It says that originally the husband's assets were not pledged for the ksuba. They then instituted that the ksuba money should be separated and deposited with the girl's father. But that caused for an easy divorce. Since he had no use for that money, he couldn't use that money anyway. It didn't bother him to say, "Hey, take your ksuba, get out of here." They then instituted that the money be separated and placed in the husband's house. So he felt like he still had ownership over it. But that still allowed for an easier divorce because the money was already separated and he knew he couldn't use it even though it was in his house. So it was still easier of him mentally to psychologically to get divorced. So Shimon Shatach therefore came along and said that all of a husband's assets are pledged for the ksuba. Hadnalach, perek ha'isha shenaflu.